If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. It's a great reading. You know, this reading is actually part of the constitution of this church. This is how we solve conflicts in our church. All set out for us. Our sermon this morning is the peace piece. Peace is very important. So important that Jesus talks about it in no uncertain terms. And when we talk about peace, it's important to talk about a true peace. A true peace isn't swallowing down your anger and going with the flow. A true peace can only be accomplished when all parties express their needs, all parties express their feelings and their desires, and a compromise is found, a way is found. A true peace doesn't have any losers. And this is what Jesus is getting at. But why is he talking about how to settle conflicts? Why just boom in the middle talking about? Well, this chapter, it's actually, our reading today is actually coming in the middle of the chapter, in the middle of a conversation. He starts chapter 18 overhearing, well, actually his disciples actually come to him and say, "Hey, Jesus, when we get to heaven, who's going to be the top dog? Who's going to be the greatest among us when we get to heaven? Ha, ha, ha." And he tells them, you got to be like children if you want to get to heaven. You see, when you get to heaven, you need to be humble. You need not to compete. Kind of silly to think who would be the greatest in heaven. It goes from that to them talking about sin as something that keeps people out of heaven, that keeps people from being close to God. And Jesus says, you know, sin's a problem, but you know what's worse than being a sinner? Being the one who causes another to stumble. That's the very worst thing you can be. And he tells them, don't cause another person to mess up. Don't cause another person to be further from God. Don't push anyone away from me, he says. And then he goes on from there to tell the parable of the lost sheep, all in the same chapter, all in the same conversation. He says, you know, God is going to leave 99 righteous people to go after that one lost soul. God is going to rejoice when that one lost soul walks through the door. So we start with, who's going to be the holiest, is the question. Who's going to be the apple of your eye, God? Who's going to be the one that's your best sidekick, Jesus? And he turns it around and he says, that is so far off. Everybody's going to be my sidekick. Everyone who gets there. And your job is not to be the best of the best of the best of the best of the righteous people. Your job is to get as many people in the room as you can. Your job is to help people understand what I'm asking them to do. Your job is to look out for the lost, not so you can sneer and point fingers, but so you can welcome them in and bring them home. Your job is not to win the Christianity gold medal, but to make sure everyone has an opportunity to be in the game. And from there, he goes to this conflict management idea. It's from there, okay, you're going to welcome everybody in. You're going to welcome everybody in. What happens if someone I welcome in is a real jerk to me, Jesus? And he says quite clearly, go and talk to him. Just the two of you. Be an adult. Be mature about it. You got a problem with someone. Go and tell them you got a problem and tell them what the problem is. They don't listen to you? Take a couple other people whose judgment you trust with you. Don't gang up on them, but go and express your need and see if you can find a common ground. They still don't listen to you? Then bring it to your faith community. Tell them what's going on. Ask them to help. You see, asking them to help might be enough to bring that person back into the faith community. And that's the real goal. It's not to win. It's not to win an argument. It's to solve a problem. It's to solve an issue. If they don't listen to the whole faith community, he says, then let that one be as a Gentile tax collector for you. Hey, but wait a minute. Who wrote this gospel? Who was it? It's Matthew, Levi. He was a tax collector. He wrote those words of Jesus. Let that one be as a tax collector to you? And who did Paul go and preach to? The Gentiles? Wow. Now, let those be like a Gentile or a tax collector to you meant stop associating with them. Just cut your losses and move on. But don't give up hope that there might be a turn. It might just be that you're not the person that's going to turn them around. But you said your piece. You spoke what you thought was truth. And now let that whirling dervish whirl and pray that they'll come to their senses. The peace piece is just simply this. None of us is expendable. Every single one of us is important to God. So when you have the conflict, go face to face and try to solve it. That's what God wants us to do. Go face to face and try to solve it. Try to repair the relationship. That doesn't work, take one or two people with you and see if you can find the solution. That doesn't work, the whole faith community. That doesn't work. You've done everything you can do and leave it in God's hands. Give that person to God. Pray for that person. Not, God, will you please just make Joe shut up and listen to reason or maybe have a truck hit him or something? No. But pray for blessing for that person. Pray for peace for that person. You know what that does? God already knows about that person, but it releases the anger and the bile inside of you. We all have done it where we walk away from an argument and we're still arguing. Man, the best lines I've ever spoken, I've spoken to myself in the car on the way home. I should have said this. And then by the time I'm home, I did speak them. You know what I said? No. When we've done everything we can, and it still hasn't worked, we release that person to God. And we pray that the next time they meet with a similar conflict, they'll meet with someone else who will care about them enough to speak the words of love, will care about them enough to say, hey, you're being a jerk. Please stop. We'll care about them enough to risk a relationship, to make a relationship better, to speak those words of love without caveat, without a catch. But just because that's the kind of peace Jesus has told us to pursue. Speak the words of love.